stand and sing that song. I have come to be in someone greater Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in this place. As soon as we come together, dear Lord, because you live within us and we can feel your strong presence in our midst here. Dear Father, we are so thankful that we are able to be here, that you have allowed a place to be that where we can meet together. And dear Lord, we know that we are here for a reason. We are here to meet with you. We are here to hear from you, dear Lord, and we will hear from you through those vessels that you have put in place, dear Lord, every member of your body. Dear Lord, we just ask a special blessing upon this service and all to come. May those needs be met. May our hearts be open to receive of you, that we may go from this place and know that we have been changed because we've been in your presence, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just bless each one this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's sing that song again. I often wonder what song we should start with, and I don't need to do that because the Lord usually gives us what we need. And I think that I was listening, thinking of the words of that song, and I think we should sing it together. That one, I have come to believe. What a privilege that God has drawn us to Himself, and we have, for whatever reason, our hearts have been in the right place, that we allowed ourselves to be drawn, and we have come to believe in someone greater than we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together. I have come to believe in someone greater than me, who guides and protects me and will at last set me free. He's restoring my soul and my destiny. To believe. something that's been holding us down and keeps us from walking upon much higher ground. But Jesus said, come, and I will set you you come to believe. We're going to sing it again and we'll pick up the tempo just a little bit. I was thinking that how many times in the Word of God we are told to be joyful and set aside those things that hold us down. And this song just all the words in this song indicate that he will help us to set those things aside and enter into the joy of the Lord. So let's do that this morning as we sing this once more. I have come to believe in someone greater than me. Look at set me free. He's restoring my soul and my destiny, and all because I have come to believe. I have come to believe in someone greater than me, who guides and protects me and will at last set me free. He's restoring my soul. Been holding us down and keeps us from walking upon much higher ground. But Jesus said, come, and I will set you free. The Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. On page 96 of the book is I Will Sing of My Redeemer. Let's take a deep breath and sing from our hearts this morning. Says, I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing it together. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Sing the one that we started with over when we met before. Into thy presence we come. Into thy presence we come. Alone bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise thy name. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you.
sing it again.
He is my
You may be seated now. This is a very special camp. They're all special, of course, but Pine Low is special not only because of the lovely grounds that we have to enjoy and the lake and just such a beautiful setting, so that we can, but we need to enjoy our fellowship, which we do. What a privilege. I was noticing the people coming in and over breakfast this morning, greeting each other. Some we haven't seen for a long time, new people that we haven't seen before. So we will have a list of who's here so that you can have a look. When I'm introduced to people, I don't always remember their name. So it's kind of handy to have a list, to go back to the list and say, oh, yes, that's who it is, and that's how their name is spelled, and that's where they're from. And we just, by the end of the week, we'll know more people than we do right now. This morning at breakfast time, there was a young lady came over to me and she said, good morning, Byron, how are you? And she really made my day. You know, I could feel within myself that she really meant that. She wondered how I was doing. And with great sincerity, and it really had an effect on me. And I thought, can I have that kind of effect on other people? I'll try. But sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to reach out to people, and we have people here with many, many different backgrounds of life. We are, as we were singing together, it's amazing how we can come together and sing those songs. The songs that are in our hearts for some of them for many years. And we come together and we are blessed by them again because we are together and we are one. We're together again just praising the Lord. And it's just a wonderful privilege. Yeah, so we just need to remember to reach out to one another. And there are people here that have needs that we have no idea what they are. And maybe we don't need to know what they are. But we just need to encourage one another and lift one another up so that we can all enter into that joy of the Lord as we are here and having this privilege of a week away from everything else and be able to learn afresh how to walk with the Lord. And we will have grown in this week. Praise God. Now, Brother Andy, I believe, was going to add a few words for us this morning. So I better not do them all here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Bear with me while I open up all my toys up here. Keep everything electronic nowadays. good to be here. Is it good to be here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. The Lord is here. And this is going to be a wonderful camp. I want to talk a little bit about what camp is all about. Okay.
What's that?
Oh, okay. I'll be real quiet. I'll stand still. All right. Some of the things I'm going to share this morning, I shared North Carolina, so the few people that were in North Carolina, just listen again. Just bear with me. So, a couple questions. First, who is here for the first time at Spokane? Anybody here for the first time ever? First time ever? Stand up, Ephraim. Stand up, please. Carly, stand up, too. I'd like to welcome the Hernandezes here. So... Roger, you haven't been here. Okay, welcome, Roger. Okay, who hasn't been here for 5 years? Anybody for 5 years? Stand up if it's been 5 years. Okay, there's still a few. Wow, all right. Okay, what about 10 years? How many haven't been here for 10 years? Okay, you're all... Oh, hey, Megan, all right. Okay, welcome. It's a joy to have you here. Well, to get started, before I get on to the message, I want to read you something here. These are church bulletin bloopers. You've heard of these bloopers that churches print in papers, and sometimes they mispronounce something or whatever. These are true, actual bloopers. Bartha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at the Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bartha Belch, all the way from Africa. The Reverend Meriwether spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. That's probably me this morning. On a church bulletin during the minister's illness, it said, God is good, Dr. Hargraves is better. Okay, applications are now being accepted for 2-year-old nursery workers. That's pretty young. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vinson will be a soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on, It's a Terrible Experience. A warm welcome to all who have come today. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoy the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Let's see here. Diana and Don request your presence at their wedding. Presence spelled like gifts. Presence. Okay, the concert held in the fellowship hall was a great success. Special thanks are due to the minister's daughter, who labored the whole evening at the piano, which, as usual, fell upon her. The outreach committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church. Hope you're not afflicted. This I like this one. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30. Please use the back door. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. Okay. Let's see here. The choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys sinning to join the choir. Supposed to be singing, okay. Today's sermon, How Much Can a Man Drink with Hymns from a Full Choir? Okay. Announcement in the church basement for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Almost done here. Weight Watchers will meet tonight at 7 p.m. Please use large double door at the side entrance. And the last one, potluck supper, prayer, and medication to follow. Praise the Lord. Thanks for bearing with me there. Let me find something here real quick. God is good. I want to talk about camp meetings. Why are we here? Why are we at this camp? Tremendous things happen at camps. And it's kind of funny, and I'll get to it in a minute, but we're following an ancient tradition, a law, a spiritual truth, a kingdom truth, by having camp meetings. Camp meetings is something that God decreed long ago, and I'll show you some scriptures in a minute, and you'll find that camp meetings, as we call them here, is something that will continue right into the kingdom of God. It's actually a kingdom principle. Why do we love camp meetings? Because God created them for a purpose. There's a purpose. There's a reason we have these. Camp meetings are like nothing else. You know, it's kind of funny. When you talk to people, your friends, people you work with, most people have no idea what you're talking about. You say you're taking a vacation, you're going to church camp. Oh, church camp. What do you do there? Make have puppets and plays and, you know, go sailboating, and that's what they think of, right? When we had difficulties finding another place and Pinelow wasn't available, it was almost impossible to find campgrounds that adults could come to because camps are for little kids. But the camps that we have are for families. They're for everybody. This is a foreign subject to most people. A camp is where we go and we gather and the Holy Spirit moves and God talks to the church and does tremendous things because we're here. The Bible talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Testament, they were commanded once a year to go to Jerusalem and take these branches and trees and cut them down and build booths and live in there for 7 days for a whole week in Jerusalem. They were commanded, leave your job, leave your school, leave your crops, leave your cows, come to Jerusalem, build this house, worship there temporarily where you don't have all the comforts at home for 7 days. And God said, I will speak to you, I will bless you, and I will take care of you. That's it in a nutshell. That's what a camp meeting is. Once a year, we all try to go to at least one camp. This is a great camp. It's not as comfortable as home. It's not supposed to be. But this is where God is. This is the Lord asks us to leave these things. I was thinking, many people are like this here, but whenever you come, most people that are here, most, not everybody, it's never convenient to come to camp when you come to camp. There's always something happening at home. There's always something that has to be attended to. Men that are in business here, when you come to camp, let me ask you a question. Does all of a sudden your businesses just run so smooth that your employees say, you know, boss, why don't you go to church camp? Things are going so well here, we don't need you for a week. It usually doesn't happen. There's all kinds of pressures at home all the time. And nevertheless, this is a time that God asks us to sacrifice, to step aside, and to go to church to hear from Him. It's a pattern that annually the church gathers to hear from God. Camp meetings and local church meetings are different things. A camp meeting is not just a local church meeting, but you do it twice a day. It's far different. This is a very special time. During camp meetings, there's lots of things that can happen. It's interesting. God speaks at camp meetings beyond the words that you hear behind the pulpit. Did you know that? You could take all the notes in the world, and please do it. But beyond that, God will be speaking and saying things that even the people up here are not saying. Isn't that amazing? You can talk to people about what they got from camp, and it'll surprise you. You may even say, where'd you hear that? But the Holy Spirit is ministering and speaking. I was thinking, couldn't sleep last night for some reason. I laid up late thinking of the first camp I went to. I was 16, very introverted. I'm still introverted to a large degree, to a degree. Very introverted, very shy, 16 years old. My friend told me about this church camp in North Battle for Saskatchewan, Canada. My friends were old. One was 18 and one was 20. I remember thinking, I'm only 16, that my 20-year-old friend, this guy is old. He's ancient. 20. Well, you know, those are kids. But So to go to this camp, there was something in my heart, as shy as I was, God just put it in my heart, you got to go there. I've never been to one of these before. You got to go there. And my folks, the wonderful folks, took care of us. One thing they never did was give us much money. If you wanted something, you worked for it. Long story short, I was delivering newspapers. So I sold all my newspapers and really worked at it, and I saved up about $60 or $70. That's all I had. And the three of us got in one car, and we had to get a tent, couldn't stay in a hotel. Drove all the way to Canada, slept in a tent along the road, different places. Got to camp, set up a tent, had a sleeping bag, slept on the floor, no air mattress. I remember during that camp, there were some old-timers. Now, keep in mind, old-timers to me at that time were men in their 40s. That was, you know, once again, those are kids. But I remember an old-timer was talking about North Battleford. He says, you know, we didn't always have these nice accommodations. Nice accommodations? Anyway, what he meant was the mattresses. He said, when we first came here, you had, what do you call those, tick mattresses where you take straw and put them in a tick, you know? And that's what you slept on. And I remember when he was telling me that, I was thinking, I'm only 16. I'm living in a tent and a sleeping bag on the hard ground. I mean, a tick mattress sounded kind of nice at that point. But he was talking about the mattresses that they had at camp. And by the way, those mattresses that I enjoyed when I was 16 in the 70s, you can still enjoy those same mattresses at the same place. They haven't changed much. But that camp, I did not grow up in a church that taught a lot of spiritual things at all. I was spiritually ignorant, spiritually stupid. But you know what? That's not a bad thing, actually, when you come to camp. Because you become like a sponge and you just soak everything up. And everything I heard, I did not understand everything I heard, but it changed my life just by being there. And it wasn't by one person standing up and giving a dynamic message that challenged you and changed you and made you do something different. It was just being in the presence of God. I was changed. Camp meeting, it changed me. I was 16 years old. Changed me. I remember I was filled with the Spirit at that camp meeting. All kinds of wonderful things can happen at camp meetings. You can be filled with the Spirit. We had a couple people prophesied over in North Carolina a week ago. You can receive healing. Tremendous things happen. I was filled with the Spirit. Didn't know anything about it. Filled with the Spirit at the camp meeting. So I went back home. Well, I remember when I left that camp, you know, God has a way of putting hooks on you. I left that camp feeling so energized, filled with the Spirit. Went back home. I decided when I go back home, I'm just going to set my local church on fire, Church of the Brethren. You know, I had no plans. Absolutely, I'm confessing, no plans of continuing in what we call the move of the Spirit. I remember when I left camp, I told all my friends, I'll see you in heaven. That was my catchword for, I'm never coming back here again, so you'll see me in heaven. So, because I thought, this is so great, wow, but it's really not for me. It's way up in Canada. So I went back home to the Church of Brethren, 16 years old, and ended up on the steering committee, part of their board, youngest member on their board. I was going to set that place on fire. But you know, it's hard to pump life into someone who's dead. And nothing would work. Nothing would work. I even put a feast, a sheep before the Lord, fleece before the Lord. And we had this Pentecostal group, a Christian band, played really good music. And I thought, wow, if I can bring this band to our dead church, they'll play this music, and I just know people will like it, and it's going to change them, and we're going to set this church on fire, because nothing was working. So I told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to stay here, then this is the last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to organize this thing. And if it doesn't work, then I know you're not trying to change those people. You're trying to change me, and you're just taking me out of it. So I organized this thing. Big First Assembly of God, great big group. had everything organized, advertised it, gave speeches, put up signs. The night of this concert came, and this is my fleece before the Lord. After this concert, if nothing happens, I know the Lord's not behind what I'm doing. The people start coming in, taking their seats. I'm getting nervous because the group's not there. A few more people come in, so I make a phone call to the Assemblies of God, and they got their dates wrong. They're not coming that night. I have a church full of people that I advertised and promoted so hard with no one to entertain them. So I had to get up in front of everybody, say, everybody, I'm sorry, we made a mistake, they're not going to be here. But I asked for a sign from the Lord, and the Lord gave me a sign. And the Lord was telling me, Andy, that's not who I sent you to. I love those people, but they're dead. And they don't want to be alive. I'm going to send you somewhere else to people that are dead that want to be alive. So anyway, that was my experience from camp. But tremendous things happen at camps. Things beyond what you see and hear, great things happen at your camps. All these years when I pulled on the grounds here, you look at the people here. This sounds funny, but don't you feel like family? You feel like family. This is my family. I'm home. I'm home again. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's this connection in the spirit that God gives us. We came to this camp for many, many years when our kids were little, and now our kids are coming with their kids, and what a joy. What a joy. Tremendous things happen. Seeing people baptized in water, and we may have it this week, I don't know. But great things happen during camp meetings. God, the Bible is alive. The scriptures are so alive, and what God says is so real. Never ignore what the Bible says, by the way. We live in a time period where men are taking the Bible and saying, you don't have to believe that part anymore. You don't have to believe that part anymore. You need to be, you know, socially acceptable in the scheme of things. But the Bible is so true. The Bible talks about, we may call them, you know, old and boring, but the feast that Israel was commanded to follow, these three feasts every year. The first was the Feast of Passover. And that was a symbol to them. They didn't even know it. But on the night of the Passover, you remember the death angel came and they put the blood and applied it over the door in the shape of a cross, and the lamb was slain, and whoever was in that home was protected. And they had to hurry, and they used no leaven in their bread. And that was assembled, the Passover, and they had this feast. You remember this every year now. Every year, remember this Passover. Remember the death angel passed over you. Remember, I died for you. I saved you. And by the way, every time we take communion, we're remembering the Passover. The death angel passed over us. And then the other feast was the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits. It was so called because it was done on the 50th day. On the 50th day, the Feast of First Fruits. That represents when Jesus came and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Every year, once a year, they obeyed and followed the Feast of Pentecost. It was the second one of the three annual feasts, and it lasted for 50 days. And then Jesus came. Do you remember this? I got it right here. That famous verse, Jesus came. Acts 2, verse 1, it says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what does that mean? It means there really was a feast called Pentecost, and it had come to its fullness, and that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Here they were following this feast for all of these years, just kind of legally, and then one day, some of them saw what it was all about. It was Jesus Christ resurrected, ascended into heaven, and pouring out His Holy Spirit. It was alive. It wasn't just a dead feast. It wasn't just a dead feast. Then we had the Feast of Tabernacles. A lot of important things happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, it was the third feast. And this was a time, as I said, that they went to Jerusalem. They had to leave everything behind. And it was an example to them that you're a pilgrim and you're a stranger and you don't belong where you are. And you do this to remember what I led you out of. You traveled to Jerusalem to worship me. to be with me, to hear from me. And the Lord commanded them to do that. It's commanded in several places in the Scriptures. Leave everything behind and come to Jerusalem, and I'm going to speak to you. There's some interesting things here. Forgive me for looking at all my notes up here, but that the feast is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. During when Solomon's temple was dedicated in 1 Kings 8:2, it was during the Feast of Tabernacles. That was an important time. It was also the Feast of Tabernacles that the Israelites, who would return to rebuild the temple, gathered together to hear Ezra proclaim the word of God to them. Nehemiah 8. That was during the Feast of Tabernacles. Ezra's preaching resulted in a great revival as the Israelites confessed their sins and repented of them. Here's another famous verse that many of you have memorized, happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. It was during this feast that Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I remember the verse before that says something like, on the last day of the feast, Jesus cried, and this is what he said. Talked about the living water during the Feast of Tabernacles. Important things happen during that time. Zechariah talks about in the days to come, the days would come in the kingdom of God where all the nations of the world would be gathered together, and if they disobey God, that he would send a punishment. Now he's talking about the 1,000-year period of the kingdom of God. There's a Feast of Tabernacles taking place. It's really, really interesting, this 1,000-year period that we don't know much about. There's a number of things that happened during that 1,000-year kingdom administration that happened right here and now. Not many things, but there are some things that go right into it. The communion. I don't know how that works. This is a side note. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you know, the Last Supper, I won't partake of the fruit of the vine again with you until I partake of it new with you in the kingdom of God. He was saying that there's some things that we practice. We call them kingdom truths because they go right into the kingdom of God. The apostolic ministry, and I could talk all day about that, goes right into the kingdom of God. The number 12 represents apostolic ministry. It doesn't mean there's only 12 apostles, but it speaks of apostolic ministry. You read the book of Revelation, find out how many times the number 12 is used. 12 tribes times 12,000 equals 144,000. 12 fruits that produces its healing for 12 months of the year for the nation. Over and over and over. Another thing you see in the kingdom of God, a word that's repeated throughout the Old Testament, a word that's repeated throughout the New Testament, a word that's repeated in the book of Revelation throughout the kingdom of God, is a word that almost never, no one else ever uses, and that is elders. Standing before the throne are the elders, the 24 elders standing before the throne in the kingdom of God. These are all kingdom principles, things that belong to the kingdom of God. During this feast, they would come to Jerusalem, and they wouldn't party. They would come and worship. According to Dr. Ryrie, my Ryrie notes, he says the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, which was 7 days in length and concluded with a holy convocation. During that week, the people lived in booths or huts made of boughs, commemorating God's provision for them and bringing them out of Egypt and through the wilderness. The sacrifices offered during this time amounted to 189 animals. It also celebrated the autumn harvest of fruits and olives, and it will be celebrated in the millennium, according to Zechariah 14, verse 16. Also during that time, they did another thing during that time. They brought all their tithes to God. That's another kingdom principle. It's amazing the number of things that are tied up into this time of gathering, this Feast of Tabernacles. It was an important time, an important feast. We were in North Carolina, and the first meeting, I spoke a little bit on the same subject about the feast and how they gathered and how blessed we were in North Carolina. We all had a room with an air conditioner in it and a bathroom in it. And the staff there was so unbelievably nice. They came up and they said their job was to make sure we had no distractions. You sit down to eat your meal, and they come over and take your plates. Like, they wouldn't even let you take your plates up to put them away. took care of us. Unbelievable. And I read this verse and I said, you know, it seems kind of awkward to read about the Feast of Tabernacles, leaving your home and going someplace not quite as comfortable while you worship the Lord. And it's a step up for a lot of people when we went to North Carolina. But still, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, it was the next day, 98 degrees out, 100% humidity. We had a power outage. No air conditioning. We had people with oxygen tanks. We had people with CPAP machines. And we have no electricity. And we didn't know when it was going to be turned on. It was a major outage. It wasn't that area. Just there, it was that area. And so we didn't know if it would be all night or what. Meeting time was coming up. We just got done talking about how you leave Jerusalem and you come someplace that's not quite as nice, not quite as comfortable. You build a booth out of sticks. We went down to the river. I looked around and here's all these trees all around us. Took the whole church down there. Got out the guitar. We had one brother, great brother down there. He's a musician. He was supposed to leave that night. But he's a guy that we're all different, needs a lot of preparation. And suddenly there's no keyboard. No lights, nothing, you know. So he said, hey, brother, can someone else lead the service tonight? So we got Brother Bernard Jane from the Caribbean was there and Brother Rick Yaskowicz, and we had an impromptu service, and no speakers. We brought out all the cold water we could bring because it's 98, it literally was 98 degrees. Handed out cold water. People were in their shorts and their jeans and looked like we just jumped in the lake, all of us just sweating, suffocating. But we had one of the most memorable meetings that night. We just began to worship the Lord. We looked at the trees all around us. We didn't have the comforts of home, but Jesus was there. And then we started having testimonies. We didn't have a message. We had testimonies. One at a time, people would jump up and just say what they were thankful for and how the Lord had changed their lives. That was our Feast of Tabernacles. We're blessed to be here to have a lot of good things. We're not going to sacrifice 189 animals while we're here this week. I think we'd be in a lot of trouble if we did. But the Feast of Tabernacles, this is a marvelous thing. Another thing, by the way, this can't be proven, but some scholars believe that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Can't prove it, but it's not a doctrine, but he may have actually been born at that time. Some people feel that John 1:14 says, "And the Word, speaking of Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word John chose to speak of Jesus dwelling among us is the word tabernacle, which simply means to dwell in a tent. That Jesus tabernacled among us. He's tabernacling right here in a tent. Jesus is in this room as much as if he was here 2,000 years ago. He is in this room. He's here. Let me move on here a little bit here. Another favorite verse of mine, Isaiah 2, second chapter. So now this gets into the future. Now we're into the kingdom of God. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2. This is a great verse. You know, while you're looking that up here, we are under, according to the Bible, the times of the Gentiles. We'll be under the times of the Gentiles until the kingdom of God comes. Right now the world is being ruled by the Gentiles, those that know not God. There's confusion everywhere, right? And if you want to know the truth, how are things going to end up? According to the Bible, things are going to get worse. They are not going to get better. Might get a little better and then it'll get worse. The Bible talks about darkness to cover the earth and gross darkness of peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you. And I've been looking at the election in the United States, and I'm not going to say anything political. But you look at 330 million people in our country, and you look at our two candidates. That's what the United States is thinking. That's the mindset of a nation right now. But that's because we're under the times of the Gentiles. But now I'm going to jump ahead to a wonderful time. This isn't happening now. Isaiah 2. This is speaking of the kingdom of God. Now it shall come to pass, this is the Feast of Tabernacles in the kingdom of God. So at this point here, we've entered into the 1,000-year period of the kingdom. The kingdoms of men have become the kingdoms of God. And it says, now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. So the mountains means the kingdom. the mountain of the Lord's house, his kingdom, shall be established on top of all the other kingdoms, and shall be established above the hills or all the other smaller kingdoms and governments. And all nations shall flow to it. Isn't that interesting? All nations. I don't know how God will do that. But all nations shall flow to it. We can't comprehend how God does it. What he's saying here is a day will come when what we are doing right here, God is going to multiply times a trillion. There'll be a giant camp meeting, and all the nations will gather to it to hear from God. That's amazing. Someday, in his kingdom, someday when he has subdued the false prophet and the beast, and Jesus has come and begins to set up his kingdom, all the nations of the earth will not go to their Congress and vote people in and have this party and that party. All nations will come to this mountain to worship him and to hear from him. If you and I are standing there in that day, I almost feel like we can say, oh, I know what this is all about. We've been doing it forever. We've been doing it every year. We've been going to Spokane or North Battleford or North Carolina or whatever. We know what this is all about. We're already enjoying this. You're enjoying something that someday the whole earth will enjoy. We are enjoying something and are privileged to partake of something. We are privileged to partake of it, by the way. We are not elite. We are not better than anybody else. But it just seems like this is so hidden from so many people. You know, the greatest thing in the world to you and yet to others is just hidden from them. It doesn't make us any better than anybody else. But someday this tremendous blessing that we have of this gathering in his presence, all the world will do. Amen. Isn't that amazing? All the world. He shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow to him. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. That's a positive statement. The day will come when all the nations will come and say, all the leaders, I don't know how the Lord will set that up, they'll all come and say, we want to hear from him, and we will walk in his ways. Before we get to that point, this morning, personally, every one of you has the opportunity to come to this camp and to say, let's go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord, and he will teach us of his ways here in Spokane, second half, and we will walk in his paths. That's the other half. We can all say that and do that. We want to hear from him, and we will walk in his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. He's talking about the day that people will take their F-16s or 17s, whatever they are, and their tanks, and they'll melt them down, and they'll turn them into John Deere tractors. It'll be a day of peace. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now this is a day that's down the road. There's some things that have to happen before this happens. There's a tribulation. There's a false prophet. There's a lot of darkness, a lot of deception that's in the world. Things will get worse. They won't get better. They will get worse. They won't get better. But there's a place of protection and safety for the church. And you can feel the assurance, almost like an insurance policy, that if you walk with God today, day by day, just like you're doing here, coming to this camp, God will help you resist that day of temptation and trial so we can escape these things that are coming upon the earth. That's in a lot of other scriptures, and I'm not going to get into them now. But we can walk with God. These truths that I'm talking about, they're kingdom truths. And when you see that, to me anyway, when I began to see that a camp meeting isn't just another camp meeting, just a time to get together and have fun and talk to our friends. A camp meeting is where you go and you meet God and you hear God, and it is something very, very special. A local service, by the way, if you're discouraged with your local services because they're not like camp meetings, they're different things. They are different things. Now, you should expect an anointing in your local services, and I'm going to tell you how in just a minute. But it is different than a camp meeting. I was trying to think of that sitting here this morning. This might sound like a really dumb example. But when I got married, the love of my wife, the love of my life, we got married, we had a nice wedding. Our wedding, compared to weddings today, was pretty small, but it was nice. We loved it. We got married at 7:30 at night so that we wouldn't have to buy meals for anybody. All we had was cake. I think we got out of that thing for like $300. I don't know. It was. I'm talking about the cake, too. The dress was $150, but wasn't it? Something like that. But anyway, that's been a long time ago. Whoops. Okay. So, but the wedding, all of our friends came, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. That was like, that's like a camp meeting. Everyone's there. Everything's great. And then after the wedding, we got a marriage. And we're still working on that. Well, I mean, it's a wonderful marriage, but it's something you work at. And I was thinking, camp meetings is kind of like a wedding. You know, everyone's together and we're rejoicing. We're with the King. And then when we go home to our local services, it's like that marriage where let's work on it. Let's keep working. Let's keep encouraging one another and keep working. And it's a slightly different anointing. And by the way, and it takes work. You know, anything that's worthwhile takes work, doesn't it? Nothing is on autopilot. Almost nothing is on autopilot. You want a good marriage? No matter how long you've been married, stick it out, number one. And number two, work at it. How long do you have to work at it? We've been married almost 41 years. We're still working at it. It's still getting better. It's still improving. We're still working at it. Anything you want a better job? Work at it. Keep working at it. Everything, anything worth having is worth working for. But your local meetings. There's a great anointing during this Feast of Tabernacles, and I was thinking, in a local service, if you want a great anointing, there's a couple things that can happen. Number one, the elders, prepare yourselves to come anointed, if I can use that word. Come anointed. Coming elders and deacons. When they come anointed, it doesn't mean you come and that you're anointed means you're emotional. Anointing, you just got the presence of God. The other thing, too, with elders, this is a unique thing that elders can do. You can do this. Elders come and pull the anointing out of the congregation. Pull it out of them. What sticks out in your mind this morning, Susie or Charlie or whatever? Do you have a verse you want to share with us? You want to give us a testimony? Whatever. Pull it out of them. Don't just let it kind of keep it. Just kind of pull it out of them. We had a number of our group that aren't here were in North Carolina. We have one lady that went there for the first time. She's only been coming a few months. Her husband passed away. And she made a comment that blessed me the other day. She said, before North Carolina, she said, I want to go to your church camp because this is my church. And I want to learn everything I can about it. And I thought, wow, I wish we had 1,000 more people like that. Like in her heart, she felt God told me this is where I belong. He put me here. Now I need to learn everything I know about it. Instead of the other way around, okay, you show me your doctrine, let me understand it. I got to agree with it. If I don't agree with it, then that's it. If I agree, it's not that. She wanted to be a part of it. So anyway, when she came to our meeting last Sunday, we asked people, what are the things that stuck out during the camp? And she had a lot of wonderful things to say about what she saw there. But just moving on here real quickly here. And rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Micah, the 4th chapter, he says he repeats the same thing. And I'm going to read one amazing last verse to you, and then I'll close with that. Matthew, the 17th chapter. If you comprehend any of this, it'll just blow your socks off. But Matthew 17, Matthew 16, end of the chapter, Jesus stops by saying that there were some that would not see the kingdom of God, would not die until they saw the kingdom of God come. So people have said, well, wow, what does that mean? Does that mean that there are people on earth that Jesus spoke to? He said, you won't die. There are some living here that will never die until they see the kingdom of God coming. Does that mean there's someone living in a cave somewhere 2,000 years later because the kingdom of God hasn't come? No, that's not what it means. Those same people that he spoke to in the next chapter, they saw the picture of the kingdom of God. But let me just read it to you quickly. We can only touch on it. Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as a light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And pause him for just a moment. Why did Peter say that? Because all of his life he'd been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's almost like he's thinking the light goes off and he says, this is what it's all about. Let's make three tabernacles right here. Moses and Elijah, and one for you, and we'll all be together. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Well, that was pretty amazing. That was a picture of the kingdom of God. But even that picture that he saw in brief, just reading some of my notes here, the transfiguration gave the three disciples a preview of Jesus' future exaltation in the coming kingdom. The Lord was seen in his body of glory, his own. He was seen with Moses, who had died, and he was seen with Elijah, who had been translated and carried to heaven in a whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:11 illustrated those whom Christ would bring with him, either through death or translations. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, represented those who would behold his coming on earth. But there's the picture. There's a picture. They got a picture, a snapshot, a tiny, tiny snapshot of the kingdom of God. They saw Jesus coming. They saw Jesus transfigured. They saw Moses, who had died a long time ago. And there he was with Jesus. They saw Elijah, who was caught up to God, translated. And there were the disciples left on earth, all gathered together in one place, having one great Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. He began to see how tremendous this experience was. They began to see that what we are tasting right now, even at this camp, is a tiny, tiny, tiny sample of what is to come. It's a kingdom order, and it is something that is to come that we give thanks to God for. So, there's other scriptures here, but I'm not going to read those tonight, I don't think. I will read this real quickly here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, famous scripture here. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And by the way, North Battleford, you're all aware, we had a young lady that the Lord took home at 18 years old. A beautiful young girl, Shay Amundson. There were over 1,500 people at the funeral, a town that had about 400 people in the town, had a godly testimony. And I thought of this verse, grief comes to all of us. Grief, every one of us in this room has been hit with grief and will experience heart-stabbing grief. You can't avoid it. But he starts off by saying this, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And then he says this, lest you sorrow or grieve as others who have no hope. We grieve, but not as those that have no hope. We lose a loved one to the Lord, we grieve their loss, but it's not like someone that has no hope. And there's a big, big difference. And hope, by the way, hope in the Bible doesn't mean, oh, I hope it rains tomorrow. I hope that that's true. I hope that I win the lottery tomorrow. That's the world's hope. But in the Bible, hope means confident expectation. I'm confident of this expectation. That's the hope that he gives us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, that by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now don't expect me to explain any of this to you. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The mechanics of how this happens, I know you can read books and books and books on how the rapture happens. Don't be worried about any of that. God will work all of this out. He has his way and his methods. There's much that is not known or understood at this time. Other than the fact, a day will come when there will be a great feast of tabernacles. Not only will there be you and I meeting together, we will have this camp meeting, for lack of a better word, with all those loved ones that are gone, with all the saints that are on earth, with Jesus in our presence. I mean, phenomenal, phenomenal. That's in our future. So, let's bring this to a close. So you're here for this week. This is the beginning of the week. We don't exactly know what God is going to do. We don't exactly know what God is going to say, but we know that God is here, that he wants to speak to every one of us. He has, at the end of the week, you'll be able to look back and say, you know, the Lord said this and this and this and this and this. We don't even know what it is right now. But at the end of the week, you will know what God said to you. I'd like to encourage all of us in your minds and your heart to just kind of mentally seek the Lord. Lord, what is it you want this week? What is it you want? Go out there and have fun. Play baseball. Enjoy yourself. Fellowship is very, very important. But just kind of mentally be seeking the mind of God. You young people, ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do this week? Do I need to make a dedication to you? Do I need to be filled with the Spirit? Do I need to be water baptized? What do I need to do? I mean, these children here, that are, I call them children, they're young people. Thank God for every one of them. These are world changers right here. And we thank the Lord for them. But I'd like to just kind of challenge all of us to have a great expectation when you come to these meetings. Let's expect the Holy Spirit to move, and we'll listen to what the Holy Spirit says. When the Lord speaks to us, we need to make sure that we're willing to walk in his paths. He'll speak, and then we have to be obedient to what he says. And I'm going to close with that. I will, before Byron comes up or whoever, I will say one other thing. I have a brochure back here at the back. We have an adult, single adults in Colorado retreat, September the 2nd through September the 5th. That's Labor Day weekend. This is reserved for singles that are college age or older, up on Camp Cedar Edge, which is up in on the Grand Mesa, which is the largest flat-top mountain in the world. If you look inside the folder and even the front of it, those are real pictures of the Grand Mesa. So that's where this is being held, and all the information is there. If you would like to come, pick one of these up and let us know so we can make arrangements, though. So those are on the back on the table. God bless you.
Of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, and the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Now that we've taken a big breath, we'll do it again.
Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, and the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
You may be seated. So we're a little bit early. Andy told me that he had a long message, and so I didn't. We didn't sing very long. It gave him lots of time. Anyway, so we're a little bit early, but let's take this time to. Daryl will have some announcements. Is Daryl here somewhere? Oh, there he is. There will be some announcement. Any of you traveling brethren, if you have anything that you would like to say with regard to the camp or anything like that, we appreciated what Andy said, but maybe some of the rest of you have some comments along that line or whatever. This is an opportunity, a little bit of time here to do that. And maybe Daryl would like to come and share whatever he has with us along the line of announcements.
Okay, get out your notepads because there's a lot of things. Write things down. I have to so I can remember them. I'll address a few things. Swimming will be number one to start with. There's some parents that you're very you're very familiar with it. Others aren't. The swimming time here is only between 1:30 and 4 for anyone. Okay, so that's the only time. So there's no midnight swims or, you know, 6 o'clock in the mornings, that kind of thing. Around the outside of the campground is residential living, and they are very appreciative of quiet, because if they don't get reasonable, then they complain, and then they get on to the owners of the camp, which is not a nice thing. So children, there is no lifeguards. So any children that want to swim must have a parent or an adult assigned by the parent to be with them. And that doesn't mean visiting in a chair while they're in the water. It means as a lifeguard would watch the children in the water. Okay, that's very important. Because those kids can disappear, and 30 seconds later, we got a problem, and we don't want any. Okay, I'm sorry if to bring news like this, but I need to do that. there's no insurance on the grounds for any of you. I have to tell you that just as a disclosure, so that you must have your own insurance when you come down here. The Holy Grounds Cafe will be open in the afternoon for your pleasure between 1:30 and 4:30 only. So that's the only time it'll be open during the week. I just noticed one thing last night. They asked us if we would bus our tables. And what busing your tables means is that when you've finished eating and that, you take your plate and your cup and utensils, and you go over to the kitchen there and you clean them off and put them in the proper proper bins. The other thing is that in the background here, we have sports activities. There is beach volleyball, there's basketball, there's the fields for baseball, soccer. They have bocce ball. I think it's bocce ball. There's sand. I think they even have horseshoes. But don't go into the forest. They have asked us not to go into the forest because there could be possibly wildlife that may not be good for your health. So if you would kindly just not go there. There's also, for activities, in the Mount Rushmore, which is the smaller hall right next door to us, there's activities like ping pong, and there's foosball, and there is billiards or pool. And those can be used as well, but please play with them with respect, that they're not damaged or broken, so that we're not liable to repair them. This building here, the evening gets a little warm, But one thing that we ask you to do is to keep the windows closed as long as we can. Like, we'll sort of judge when the windows could be open, because we do not want hot air to come in to the building. If we open up windows, that air outside is usually warmer than it is in here. And we do have a couple of ceiling fans, and I do have that one fan that's over there, because the swamp coolers that we used to have with water and things, they're not really functioning in that manner right now. Now, we haven't used them the last time we were here, other than the fan. And if I don't need to, then it's noisy and it's hard to hear. So we'll try to do the best we can with that. Those that have not been able to pay me for their registration, I would really, really appreciate it if you could see me either before lunch or during lunch or after lunch, so that I can get that part of the work done. And also, it need not be said, but I still like to say it. If you notice a child or an adult or a middle-aged person sort of like on their own a bit, try to get them, you know, bring them into your fellowship. Don't leave a child off by themselves, that they don't feel they belong. We all belong. And it's up to us to make sure that, because some people are shy. And they would really like to be part, but they sort of like to maybe wander and they want to be invited in. And if we just do that with everybody, you know, because I know we like to see our own friends that we haven't seen for a long time, and we sort of forget about others because I'm busy with this. But just pay attention if you would like that, because everybody wants to go home changed. And that can be such a tremendous change for a person that's just quiet. Okay? That's what I've got. Oh, yes. Thank you, Marcus. Okay, so lunch will be at 12 every day. What did we want to say for breakfast? Anything yet?
No, we'll discuss
that. Okay. Just leave it at 8. Okay, so right at the moment, we're leaving breakfast at 8 o'clock. Supper will be at 5. The meeting will be at 7. Okay, because we get a 2-hour span from the beginning of supper, and that way you have your meeting, we're done a bit sooner, then there's lots of time for fellowship after that. Okay, any other questions while I'm here? I will get that information for you and have that tonight. That's one thing I don't know the answer to yet, just yet. If anybody is missing things, or you don't have towels, or there's something that's just that, you know, don't be hesitant to ask me. You might get a no, or I don't know, but I will do my best to help you out to make sure you're very comfortable. Okay.
Are there any other announcement type comments to be made or anything like that?
Yeah.
That's a question. I was looking for answers more than questions.
So today we're just going to meet at 3:30 in the Bayview Lodge meeting area. And if anyone wants to help with the kids in any way, from crafts to activities to preschoolers, just let myself or Heidi Smith know. Okay?
We depend on everyone to participate in the camp and do what we can to help others and enhance everyone's experience here. Praise the Lord. So we have a little bit of extra time to we can use it as we wish before lunchtime, and let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting. Dear Lord, we ask your blessing upon each one as we go from this place. We just pray that you will help us to know what is your will in our lives every step of the way. Bless each one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Dismissed.